tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
So I don't know about you, but I hate letting things go. When I get in arguments with people, when I have disagreements, I hate just like forgiving someone. That sounds terrible. Say that out loud. It's not that I don't want to like reconcile with people. It's not that I don't love people and I want to be in relationship with them. It's just that typically when someone's hurt me, I want them to feel the pain that I felt and the argument before I forgive them. So I hold on to it. Let me give you an example. A few months ago, before I was actually hired here at Next Level, before Scott was here, it was really stressful coming into work because I didn't know if I was going to be hired, and then like we had just all the stuff going on with the student ministry, and I was trying to get leaders together. And then I had this one specific week where it was just like really high stress here. And so every day I'd come in and just didn't. It was like, oh my gosh, it's just so stressful being at work. And then I'd go home, and that week, like it just felt like every night, me and my wife Lauren would just get in arguments, and it just felt like everywhere I was going, it was just super high stress. Well, Friday ended up coming, and I look at my wife, and when she comes home, it's like the house is a mess. We haven't like cleaned at all. There's like no food in the house. And I just look at her like, listen, we could sit here and argue all weekend long, or we could just order a ton of pizza and binge watch a new show. So we obviously went with option two. We were like, there's no point to argue about this. Let's just live the dream. So we sit down, we order a pizza, and hi, I'm Chris. Welcome to Next Level Church. All right. So we order a bunch of pizza, and we sit on our couch, and we didn't move for like 19 hours. And we started watching the show. We started watching Downton Abbey. We'd never seen the show before, so we were kind of excited. We'd heard great things about it, and we had just gotten Amazon Prime, so we're like, let's use this Prime Video app and see what Downton Abbey is all about. So we sit down and we start watching it, and we are so confused. First of all, everyone's speaking in a British accent, so that like raises the level I have to pay attention to a whole other space. And then it's like, we start and we're like, man, they're just not introducing these characters at all. Like, there's like, things are happening really quickly, and like this couple gets married real fast, and we're like, man, like this seems like it's a climax of the show. Like, why is this happening in like the first episode? Like, I have no idea what's going on. And then we get to like episode three, and we realize, wait a minute, why are they just meeting this guy? Is this like a flashback? Like, did they just flash back and not say anything? And we keep like pausing the episodes, and me and my wife are like explaining to each other who we think who is and like what's going on, because we're so, and I'm like, how did anyone get into this show? But we started doing some research online, and we realized that the Amazon app had messed up and started us in season three and not in season one. So I don't know if you've ever seen Downton Abbey. The show's been off the air for 8 years, so here's the spoiler alert, but you can't be mad. The show's been off the air for 8 years. Season three is when everything happens. Like, the first two episodes, everything, all the climax of the first two seasons, like, the relationships of the will they, won't they, that gets settled. The people who are bad get, like, pushed out. So the entire first two seasons were just ruined for me and my wife in a two-episode, like, mistake. And this is all Amazon's fault. And I just had the most stressful week of my life. I'm fighting all the time, and the giant corporation that is supposed to provide me with endless amount of entertainment and joy has just ruined everything. So I take all of my anger from the week, and I sit down at my computer, and I write a letter. This is not a normal letter that I would write to someone. I wrote this letter with the intent of making this person cry, whoever had to read it. I gave the person a backstory and a name. Her name was Susan. She lived in California. She had two kids. She's divorced, and she just started this job at Amazon. So I gave her this backstory, and I'm like, listen, Susan, I know you're feeling great with your new haircut, and you got a mocha frappuccino, because, hey, you deserve a treat today. Well, guess what? You don't deserve a treat. No one noticed your haircut, and your lack of organization is destroying your company. I wrote those words down, thought they were a good idea, and then sent them to a person. Oh, it gets better. So I go to bed feeling vindicated. I wake up in the morning, and me and my wife, continuing our binge of and pizza eating, sit down, and we were laying in bed, and because we were so lazy we didn't want to get out of our bed, I grabbed my iPad, and we're like, let's just watch it from the middle of the bed, because that's the dream. So we pull up the app on the iPad, and like I said, I'd never used Amazon's app before, and my wife realized, hey babe, I think when you were clicking to start the show, you hit the wrong button and actually started on season 3. And then when we moved to the iPad, we can see that you actually hit episode 3 of season 1 later. So Amazon didn't mess anything up. It was all you. I just wanted to hide under my pillow and under my case because I just destroyed someone online for something they had no issue with. They did nothing to create my problem. But I was so angry throughout my week, I just needed somewhere to throw all that anger. And I think I'm not alone when I say this, that as a country, we're really good at holding things in and building things up until all of a sudden we just throw the book at someone. We just take all of the baggage, everything we've been carrying through the week, through the day, through the stressful times, and we just say, I'm so sick of holding all this in, something's got to give, and you just drop it on someone. So naturally, I feel terrible. I actually wrote the woman an apology letter, and I said I would buy you a cup of coffee if you would ever email me back and tell me who you are, because I felt terrible. But I really want to talk to you guys today about that kind of situation in our lives, because I know this isn't just a me problem. I know when I get in arguments with other people, when I get in arguments with my coworkers or with people in my family, it's typically not the issue in front of us that's the issue. It's a whole bunch of issues behind it. There's a whole lot of anger and bitterness built up in their lives that bring them to a point where they explode on me. And I've realized that as a country, as a culture, we're really good at just trying to hold all that stuff in and carrying it all with us, and pretending like it doesn't affect our everyday lives until the moment it does. So luckily, this problem is not new. This is not something that we just created in the 21st century. This isn't just happened in, the 757. This is a problem that has existed ever since people were with other people. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this. So I want to jump into our text for the day. This is going to be the main text I read. And before I do, I would love it if you guys would stand with me and read this text. I think this is a way to show honor to the text, and I think we can get more out of it if we read it together. So let's read this. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. So we'll read it together. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for this word. I ask that you just let us hear what you want us to hear through this message. Let us hear what you want us to hear through your word, and that we can become better followers of you. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. So, I like this verse a lot. This verse kind of has two parts, kind of separate, and I want to break them down for you guys, because I think this will really help us understand what we do as a culture, what we do when we get into these negative situations, and how we can avoid being negative and being stuck in these situations like we typically are. So it says at the beginning, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." I like how the Bible just says, get rid of it. It's like it has no place in your life. Just get rid of it. Because I think that's something that is so, that it's like, it just seems so, like, casual. It's like, yeah, just get rid of it. My question is, like, why? How? Like, there's so many things that's going on here. Why are you just, like, passing over? It's like, yeah, just get rid of that stuff. I'm like, no, I really like being angry. I really like when someone wrongs me and I can just hold on to it and just feel something because I'm so mad and I just want to keep that inside of me. But I think we have a problem when we do that. We become so focused on the problem that we don't look for a solution. And so I want to give you guys my big idea of the day right now up front. This is the one thing we're going to be talking about. If you're going to defy gravity, we need to be solution-oriented instead of problem-focused. As a culture, we are problem-focused. When we get into negative situations, when bad things happen to us, we want to sit in that anger. We want to sit in that just annoying, like, hatred and bitterness and malice, and we just want to sit there and think that if I'm just angry at this person, they're just somehow going to feel that someone's angry in them in the world, and it's going to ruin their day. But the Bible says something different. It says we need to get rid of this. And I like this other verse in the New Testament that that talks about bitterness, and it's in Hebrews 12, verse 15. And it see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. I like what this says about bitterness, because it's saying the same thing, just in a different way. It's saying just get rid of bitterness, just throw it away, because it makes you carry baggage around. It grows a root inside of you. It holds you down and makes you become something that, like, you don't want to be. It's interesting how the Bible talks about bitterness as just something just to run away from, but how deadly it can be. I need a volunteer. I think I need a volunteer who's a male and was singing on this stage and is in this section and is like 12 rows back. Anyone who fits that description, please come up on stage. Oh, wow, we found someone. That's incredible. That is just amazing. That person fit my description perfectly. This is not planned. It's amazing. Hi, friend. Would you tell your name to the audience?
Levi. Wes.
This is Wes. Everyone say hi, Wes. Wes, I need you to be an example of what bitterness can do in your life. Can you just, like, put your hands out like this? Maybe just stand right here in the middle. So let's just imagine that Wes is going through his daily life. And something happens in his fantasy basketball league, and his good friend Chris ends up beating him. And with that, he's a little upset about it, and he can't let it go, so he just kind of is stuck holding on to that for this week. And then later in the week, you know, his daughter is just acting, you know, crazy and is just screaming and wakes him up at 2 a.m. and he's just holding on to that a little more. And then all of a sudden, he gets in an argument with his wife and he just can't shake it, and he's at work and he's just stuck in a terrible situation with his boss. And then so work gets really stressful. And work's just real stressful for him. And then his favorite football team loses the Super Bowl. And you can see that Wes... Get that on your face, please. Could you just turn for the audience, please? We can see that Wes is... How you feeling, bud?
My face is getting red.
Okay. It's probably because I put bricks in this. Okay, but the Bible just says for you to drop that. Because I'm not going to lie, Wes, I don't think I would hang out with you if everywhere we had to go, you were carrying baggage like this. If every time I came over to your house, we were going to go play video games or go upstairs, if I had to help you carry your luggage everywhere. I don't think anyone would want to hang out with Wes if we had to carry all these things. I don't think your wife would want to be with you every day if everywhere you went, there was this baggage all the time. But God says, we need to drop it. Because now, I don't mind hanging with Wes. It's just the two of us. We don't have all these things to carry around. It's much easier. And this is a lot like what bitterness does to us, what anger does to us. It builds up. It builds up. And even though you don't see it, even though it's not physical, it builds up in your life, and it holds you down, and it holds down the people around you that you don't think are being affected. Can we give a big hand for Wes? Thanks, Wes. And I know this is ridiculous, but I really want you guys to see that this object lesson is to show you that, like, bitterness does have more of an effect on our bodies than we think. And that's why the Bible tells us just to run away from it, to not let it root inside of us, to push it away. Because everything about bitterness is that it holds us down. It keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. And I love it when the Bible is backed up by science. I love it when science meets the Bible and proves things that the Bible's been saying for years. And this week, while studying for this series, I was reading an article by Dr. Schlitzer, and he was talking about, he's talking about the cost that bitterness has in our lives. And this isn't in a Christian organization, this is just a doctor who's noticing a trend in his life. And he says, and he talks about bitterness, and he talks about the cost that bitterness has in our lives. He talks about how it gives us anxiety. And it's not just anxiety in what's going on in that situation, it's in the rest of your life. Everything that you do, it makes you super anxious. He talks about how it actually raises people's blood pressure because it's hurting them, because the weight on the mind is so, it makes physical exhaustion. And so it actually raises your blood pressure. He talks about it gives you low energy. You're so focused on that one issue, you let that bitterness, you know, get inside of you that it brings down your energy for the rest of the day. He talks about stress. It increases our stress level in everything, around other people, around our friends, around people that aren't in the situation. He actually says it compromises your purpose and meaning for life. If you let bitterness come into your life, it can distract you from your goals. It can distract you from what you are trying to accomplish. He talks about it increases insomnia. It makes you tired. You're so worried and anxious that you can't even sleep over these issues. He talks about increasing your depression if you just let bitterness creep into your life. Now, I look at that list of things, and I see an American. Someone who's anxious, someone who's depressed, someone who has a lot of stress. That sounds like an American to me. Just someone who's going through everyday life, because those are things I feel like we deal with all the time. And I'm convinced the reason Americans have these things is because they let bitterness creep into their lives and they never deal with it. I'm convinced that there's so much anger and hatred and we don't know how to deal with our issues that we just let it build up inside of us and we carry around this baggage all day long not knowing how to get rid of it. And what I love about what he says is the same thing I love what the Bible says. If we go back to that verse in Ephesians, it says to us in the second half, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. And I love Dr. Schlitzer agrees with the Bible. He says the one way to get rid of bitterness, to stop it creeping up in your life, to stop it from causing depression and anxiety, to push out your goals, to affect your relationships with people that aren't involved, you have to forgive someone. Because that bitterness is in your life for some reason. It's probably a person. It's probably an event. You need to forgive whatever that was so you can move forward. And I love that science backs up the Bible here. So even if you're here and you're not a Christian, even if you're here and you're just kind of not sure about this whole God thing, you can understand that science is telling you to be a better person to get rid of bitterness. And if you are a Christian, if you're here today and you believe in God, you can say science is backing up what the Bible says and we need to run away from bitterness because we are too problem-oriented and we need to be solution-focused. I love that, how those two things blend together perfectly. One of my favorite quotes of all time is by a man named Nelson Mandela. You probably have heard of him. He's a pretty famous guy if you haven't. He was a leader in South Africa for many years, and he was actually in prison for the beginning portion of his life, for I think 27 years. And as he's sitting in prison every day, not deserving to be there, being falsely convicted, and just sitting in this work and tormented camp, he had bitterness growing inside of him and rage growing inside of him, and he hated that he was there. He had no reason to be there, and every day it kept building up and building up and building up. And finally, he was freed. And he makes this comment about how he felt when he walked out the door. And it says, as I walked out the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible to see someone realize that what's holding them back isn't their situation, it's the feelings inside them. It's the burdens that they carry around with them. It's the baggage that they have every single day. It didn't matter where he was. For him to move forward, he had to get rid of the bitterness and anger that he had. And I love how God, in the human form of Jesus Christ, came and did something so radical with bitterness and anger. I feel like I get bitter and anger over the smallest issues. And over the biggest issue in the world, which was Jesus dying on the cross, when the world rejected him, when they saw God in the flesh, and said, hey, we don't want you, we don't like you, we're going to get rid of you. And they tortured him and then killed him. And he's sitting on the cross dying. The only thing he does is this. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In the darkest situation, God had every right to be bitter. He had every right to be angry at people. He had everything set up to where he was perfect, everyone else was wrong, and he had everything inside of him to say, you have the right to be angry, this is wrong, there's nothing good coming from this. But in that moment, he knew the darkness that bitterness can have in him. He knew how that anger could build up in him and make him a worse person. So instead of holding on to those feelings, he rejected them and said, Father, forgive them. And while Jesus was on the cross, he was praying and he was trying to reach people. At the very last breath, he was going to reach other people because he knew how negative these emotions could be in lives. And he didn't want people to hold on to bitterness. He only talked about love and compassion and grace. I don't know if you follow the news, but this week there was a shooting in Kentucky in a high school. And as a youth pastor, I these things break my heart. I have so many students that are in high school, and so I follow these stories closely. And I always want to see what happens in these stories. And I was following this story, and I read an interview from a mother whose daughter was killed that day. There was two students killed the day of, and one of the mothers actually got a call from her daughter after she had been shot. And her daughter couldn't speak to her because she was bleeding out. And she's not exactly sure, but she's pretty sure she heard her daughter die on the phone. And the mother raced to the school hoping that her daughter was alive, but knowing in the back of the head that she was gone. And she got there and was pulled in a cop car and told the worst news that a parent has ever been told, and that your 15-year-old daughter has been killed by a random shooter for no reason. And that mom wept, and she was so upset. And she took a couple days, and she did this interview with a news organization, and she was talking about her daughter and how sweet she was. And she was 15 years old, and she'd already planned to go to nursing school because she loved helping people, and she wanted to help people in their lives because people had been so kind to her. And her teachers held her in high regard, and she was getting straight A's, and she was a great student. And her mom was talking about the shooter and saying, I don't know why you would kill such a perfect young girl. She would have been your friend if you just asked. If she had known anything was wrong, she would have reached out. That's just the kind of person she was. All the teachers called her the angel because she was so good. And in this darkest time, when this mother had everything in her life taken from her, and she's talking about how she doesn't even want to face the shooter if they have to go to court. She doesn't want to deal with it because it's so dark. She doesn't want to look at the man who killed her daughter. She says all these things, and then she goes, but I really want to pray for the shooter because I know he's hurting too. I broke when I read that line. Oh my gosh. How can someone who's just lost everything have so much compassion for someone who did the worst possible thing they could have ever done in their lives? How could you care for someone who just took away your daughter? I don't have children. I have a big youth group. And if any one of them was gone, I would be a mess for days. I can't imagine losing a child. And this woman, her only daughter, says, I want to pray for the shooter because I know he's hurting too. That's an amazing gift of grace. That's an amazing show of love to someone who doesn't deserve that love. That's amazing compassion for someone who you don't understand and don't even know. But what this woman knew, I think what Nelson Mandela knew and what Jesus knew, was that this bitterness, this hatred that can come up in these stressful and terrible and painful situations are only going to bring you down. They're not going to help you grow. They're not going to make you better. They're not going to hurt that other person. They're only going to hurt you and your relationships. So, what do we do with this? I think the answer is very simple. I think today's win is something really easy that you can take away. Because here at Next Level, we like to give you wins. It's sometimes hard to know how do you win out of church? How do you get something out of church? This is how you can win this week. Who do you need to forgive? Because I'm betting that there's some pain in this room. I'm betting that someone's struggling with some anger and some bitterness. And maybe your life's not going the way you want it to go, and maybe there's some stress, and you don't know where it's coming from, and you're snapping at people, or you're getting angry with your boss, or angry with your wife, or angry with your kids, and you're not sure why. But I bet if you looked at your past, and you looked at somewhere where you were hurt, you probably haven't forgiven someone that you need to forgive. And that forgiveness is not for that person. That forgiveness is for you. You need to be able to move on and stop focusing on the problem and looking towards the solution. God did everything in his power to walk us away from bitterness. Every time he talked about it in the Bible, every time it's mentioned, every time anger and hatred is mentioned, he tends to push it away. Throw these things on the ground and walk away from them. So how do you do that right now? I think you need to forgive someone. I think that there's forgiveness that needs to go around this room. And I want you guys just to dream with me for a second. Think about if every time we were hurt and we were wrong as a church, we were able to push that away and we were able to forgive and show love. Imagine how this 757 area would be affected by love if every time we got pushed down, we got dealt a shorthand, we were wronged, people said, "Nope, I'm going to love." Imagine if every time that you were hurt or you felt wrong, that you just said, "I'm going to push that away and I'm going to show love and compassion." Imagine how this church would grow, how this part of the country would grow. Love is a rare thing in our day and age, and it's easy in this culture to get swept up in what everyone else is doing and just stay in your own lane and hide everything inside. But just imagine for a second that we said, "We're not that. We're what God wants us to be," and we walk the other way. I'm going to bring Levi back up. He sang a song today. It was called "Jesus Paid It All." And I want to sing that song again because it has a great line in there that I really want you guys to pay attention to. It says, sin had left a crimson stain. And if you know anything about stains, a crimson stain, a stain of blood, a stain of like wine that's really dark, that's something you can't get out of clothing. If you get that on a white shirt or you get that on any of your clothing or on your carpet, people just says, rip it out, throw it away. But when Jesus saw the nastiest, disgusting, worst thing, the horrible scar that couldn't be fixed, he showed love and compassion and said, "Let's take this and wash it clean." So I want you to look at your own lives. I want you all to see, what does God have for you today? Who needs forgiveness? How can you wash away that negativeness, that hurtful, that pain that you have in your life? How can you move forward and show grace and love?
Savior say that thy strength indeed is small. The child of weakness watch and pray and find in me thine all. In
won't you guys go ahead and stand?
Cause Jesus paid it all, it all. Had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Died my soul to save, and my lips shall still be.
Jesus paid.
Jesus paid it all. It all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white.
So may we be a people that remember that Jesus went after us, the one sheep. Let us remember what he said on the cross. And show grace to those who didn't deserve grace. And let us impact the 757 with a love so strong that people can't deny that there's something more out there. Let us impact the world with saying we are not going to go towards bitterness and hate and carry this baggage. We're going to drop it and move forward to something better. Thank you guys for coming out here today. We really appreciate it. Please come back next week as we start our new series. So you guys have a good day.